Oh, good morning, everybody.
Thank you for your welcome. Stephanie and I always enjoy coming to be with you. Thank you. We've got a call to worship. Lord, you, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me, how good they are. And it's something we need to think about all the time, isn't it? It's so often easy to think about what we don't have rather than to think about all the good things that we are given by God. And we're going to commence by singing, "As We Are Gathered, Jesus Is Here." Let us pray. Loving God, in this building, used to the sound of singing, this building which has seen baptisms and funerals, this building where people have come to be married or to celebrate the birth of a child, this building where people have wept and been filled with joy, this building where people have wrestled with the deep things of life, have prayed urgently, been stirred and changed. In this building where you have so often been with your people, be with us now, we pray. Amen. Tomorrow, now, yesterday. Now is the shortest period, isn't it? Because it's gone. Yesterday, we think about yesterday. Last week, we were very much thinking about yesterday, weren't we, at Remembrance? But what I want to do today is just think a little bit about tomorrow. Especially the young people here. What are you expecting tomorrow? What are you hoping for tomorrow? How many people know the musical Annie? There's a song in that called Tomorrow. How many people know the Annie song Tomorrow? You want to come out and sing? No. But it says, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. And thinking about tomorrow wears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's grey and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow, so you've got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may. On the way over, driving over from Northampton this morning, as we drove over, there was a beautiful rainbow in the sky. What promise does the rainbow remind us of? Any of the young people at the back, anybody called out what the rainbow reminds us of? It's a special promise, isn't it? The promise about the flood? No, there will never be another flood like Noah. So, that's one thing we know about tomorrow. We know the sun's going to come out tomorrow, although it doesn't always seem like it. Sometimes, last few weeks, it's been terribly and horribly grey, hasn't it, in the days. But the sun is still there. If you go up in an aeroplane, you still get out to see the sun. It's still there. It's just because it's hidden from us. Just because it is hidden doesn't mean to say it's not there. Okay. Anybody got a birthday this week? Oh. What's your name? Olivia. So happy birthday, Olivia, for this week. Which day is it on?
Wednesday.
So... got to go to school on Wednesday, haven't you? I never went to school on my birthday. You know, I never ever went to school on my birthday. No, 31st of August. But I'm sure, Olivia, you're hoping for some things on Wednesday. Clothes and money? Would I be right? Mum and Dad, that she's hoping for clothes and money on Wednesday. Sorry?
We're going to a play.
You're going to a play? Whereabouts? Ah, Wicked. Oh. Yeah. So. Okay, there's something else happening next month, isn't there? Hasn't been anything in the shops or anything about it yet. But, well, yeah. Actually, Stephanie will tell you, I very rarely go out shopping. Although, actually, we did go out. Went to Beckworth Emporium yesterday, and they got a Christmas Emporium. It really is good, actually, their Christmas Emporium this year. Look around that, all the Christmas trees and all the food and the bits and pieces and everything. It really was good. But we're all looking forward to Christmas. And it's in the future, so you must be looking forward to it. But lots of us will be meeting with family at Christmas. We will be having time, we will be having good times and that. Tomorrow is what is coming. And we think about tomorrow. Can you answer that for me? It's the guy who's doing the technology at Kingsthorpe who's ringing me. So, we're told not to worry about tomorrow, but that doesn't mean to say we shouldn't think about tomorrow. There's a saying that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. You know, if we didn't think about tomorrow, if people hadn't thought about tomorrow, Olivia wouldn't be having a treat to go to Wicked. That had to be planned, didn't it? What we're going to be doing at Christmas has to be planned. There are all sorts of things that we need to plan for, whether we're 8 or 88. There's a tomorrow for all of us. And Jesus has said that the best will come tomorrow, because he will be here with us today, but he will also be here with us tomorrow, and at the end of our life on this earth, he will be with us then as well. So, thinking about promises, and all the promises that we have, we thought about the rainbow, the promise that we've got to come in that, but there is that promise that we should be thinking about all the time, which is Jesus' promise to be with us every step of our life. The good times, the not so good times, the sad times, he promised that he would always be with us. And we can always be ready to celebrate tomorrow because Jesus will be there with us. We're going to sing now the song, God Sent His Son, They Called Him Jesus. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, because you are the great Creator God. We give you thanks for your love for humankind, for your love for each person, for the great and mysterious opportunity of life, for the life of your Spirit within us, for the gifts of your Spirit. We praise and worship you through Jesus Christ. We praise you for the earth and the wonder of its life, for the beauty of landscape and sky, for the variety of seasons, animals and plants, for their intricate interdependence, and for making us to be part of it all, shaping landscape affected by seasons, interconnected with the whole of nature. God Inspirer, we praise you for human history and the magnificence of our inheritance, for the heights of human artistry with brush, pen, or chisel, fixing visions and ideas for others to share, for the depths of human understanding expressed in science, politics, and daily living, enriching life and reshaping society. God Redeemer, we praise you for Jesus Christ and the glory of your work in him, for his life in all its fullness of doing and being, for his following through of your way to the end, for your raising of him and all who follow him. For our world and all of you that it contains, and for our life and the opportunity of living with you that it offers, we praise and adore you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sandra.
The reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 31. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. That reading reminds us of things that give us signals that other things are on the way. When I was young, there was one thing that told me that Christmas was on the way, and it was a smell. It was getting home from school and smelling mandarins or clementines, the little oranges. We only had them at Christmas. I think you could only get them at Christmas in those days. But my mother would buy those, and there would be a bowl of them, and the smell of that always reminded me of Christmas. And even today, the smell still reminds me of Christmas.
And there are all sorts of things that remind us of things that are coming. Things in the future. We were thinking earlier about tomorrow. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus said. When you buy something in the shops, do you hope that it will be something that will last? You know, we often expect to have some kind of warranty or guarantee or something, some kind of quality. We've got a slide about these things. When you go shopping, customer service, quality assurance, a lifetime warranty. Have you ever noticed that when they give you a lifetime warranty, they never actually tell you what the lifetime is, whether it's your lifetime or it's the thing that you're buying's lifetime? If it's a thing that you're buying's lifetime, it's not really much worth the warranty that they're giving you if they're only giving you a lifetime warranty, isn't it? It's saying, when it's no longer good for purpose. Customer satisfaction. How many people go shopping online these days? You know, do you look at the five-star ratings and the reviews when you're buying? You think, well, if somebody else has been satisfied, then maybe I will be satisfied. The quality rating. Which do you prefer? A best price or the best service? But then you moan about the price, don't you? You pay for what you get. If it's free, it's not worth it, some people feel. It says lifetime warranty, lifetime guarantee. Anybody know the difference between a warranty and a guarantee? They're legally different. You know, a warranty is when somebody gives you a promise that something will be good and will last. So a guarantee is when they give you a promise that they will do something when it goes wrong. So actually a warranty is saying this isn't going to go wrong. A guarantee is saying when it does go wrong, we'll fix it for you. Fun things. What are we looking for in our lives? We do not wait in vain for the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. Jesus Christ is coming. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, is that a warranty or a guarantee? Who thinks it's a warranty? Because it's God is saying it will be there always. It's never going to fail. God's promises are never going to fail. How many promises do we make where we don't really know whether we're going to be able to keep the promise or not? Even worse, how many promises do we make? We make a promise, we say, yeah, I promise I'll do that. You know, I promise I'll put the washing into the tumble dryer while you're out. I missed on that one on Friday. We forget, don't we? How many promises do we make that we then forget about? How many promises... The thing is making scratchy noises, so I'll clip it over here. Hopefully that will stop it. There we go. Hopefully that'll be a bit better. How many promises do we make that we forget about? We're much better at forgetting our promises that we make, aren't we? We're much better at remembering the promises other people have made to us. Promises. The Son of Man will be coming in clouds with great power and glory, Jesus says. But we don't know the date, we don't know the hour. For all we know, it could be this afternoon, tomorrow morning, or 10,000 years from next week. But we do know that he's coming, because that's one of the promises of God. If you knew it was actually going to be this afternoon, how many of you would be here this morning? If you knew it was going to be next week, would it change the way that you were living this week? Hmm? The correct answer is, no, it wouldn't. The truthful answer is, almost certainly it would. We ought to be living our lives as if tomorrow could be the last day. So that we aren't disappointed when it happens. Now, how often have you heard people say about the death of somebody in their family, maybe their mother or father, an older person saying about their mother or father has died, and they're saying, I wish I'd had this conversation with them before they died. I thought there was plenty of time, but they're gone now. I never actually said, I love you. We need to actually think about doing things today because it's right for them to be done today. Not putting it off to tomorrow because we've got plenty of time. Written in a magazine were these words. It's a gloomy moment in history. Not for many years has there been so much grave and deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so incalculable as now. The political cauldron seethes and bubbles. It's a solemn moment, and no one can feel an indifference. Written this week, do you think? Published this week? It was actually published 170 years ago. It was in Harper's Weekly magazine 170 years ago that was written. Things are always the same. We can get very worried about tomorrow. We can get very worried about things which are going on. But however your situation may seem, you can focus on what truly matters because the Saviour is near you now. However burdened, desperate, or hopeless your life may seem, you can focus on what truly matters because the Saviour is near you now. God guarantees that our full human potential will be realised, but there is a key condition. Can we see the next slide? No, the one before. That one. Life might look easy for some people. How many of us think life looks easy for other people? But we all have our challenges. You know, even the people for whom life looks simple have their challenges. But we forget that, don't we? We forget that life is hard for other people. We sort of feel it's our lives which is difficult. The future is open. We don't actually know what the future really holds. When you were 10 years old, what did you think your future was going to be?
I was going to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm. And were you a nurse?
I was.
You was a nurse.
You know,
yeah. But for some, it turned out. For others, it didn't. You know, all those boys who wanted to be engine drivers. We have uncertainties ahead. But God is God, and he is always acting his purpose out, and nothing man can do will ultimately defeat God. Rather like the clouds can obscure the sun, like we were talking about earlier, though, what man does can obscure God. God is always there, but sometimes we put things in the way of us seeing God. Sometimes we put things in the way of feeling God. But God has made promises. God is offering wholeness of life to us, and that he will have the last word. God designed and made us for a particular purpose and guaranteed that the product would work. God guarantees that our full human potential will be realized, but there is a key condition. You notice that about guarantees and warranties? There's normally conditions attached to them. You know? We get a guarantee when we buy something. A new car comes with a guarantee, a warranty. But if we drive it out of the garage and smash it into a tree, they say, well, you didn't treat it right. The condition that God has made is that we keep God at the center of our lives. He's tough to do, almost impossible to do if we try to do it on our own. Only faith can guarantee the blessings we hope for. God's promise of eternal life has only that one condition of believing on him, of putting him first, and actually opening our lives to allow him to be put first. God gives us a lifetime warranty and guarantee. Next slide. Eternal salvation guaranteed. Jesus Christ is coming. Heaven and earth will pass away,
but my words will not pass away. Do you accept God's promise? Do you accept eternal salvation, which is what God has promised us? But he's also said he knows it's very difficult and we can't do it on our own. So he's promised that Jesus will be with us every step of the way. And we remember that as we sing our next hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Cumbered with a load of care. That's a horrible word, cumbered, isn't it? How many people use cumbered in their normal conversations? No, I didn't think anybody did. What does it mean? Weighed down, burdened by, sort of, that moment in life when everything seems to be on top of you and you can't get out from under it. Cumbered, that's what the word cumbered means. Used to be a program on TV called Call My Bluff, where they had strange words and they gave definitions. So cumbered. We are. Some of our hymns have some very strange words in them. I still think the strangest one is the hymn that says, "Here we raise our Ebenezer." May we come to a time of prayer. Prayer for others. We've thought of Laura earlier. Are there any other things, people, situations that we should be particularly remembering in prayer this morning?
Oh, does my little granddaughter in hospital?
Your dangled in hospital. Any other situation?
My friend
Right. Laurie, Australia, yes. Okay, let us pray. Lord God, we come before you at this time in prayer. We bring to you those things that are on our mind. You have shown to us that your will for the world is that all people should live in justice and peace. You have given us a vision of hope where all humanity lives in that wholeness of life for which we have been created. That vision seems so far away. We pray for your world torn apart by conflict and fear, nations divided one from another by suspicion, aggression, greed, nations divided within themselves by injustice, oppression, and powerlessness. You've called your church to be a sign of hope in a world without hope, a healing community in a broken world, a people of peace in a world at war with itself. Forgive our failures of past and create in us a vision of unity and hope, of love and sharing, that we might indeed be a light for the nations. We bring before you especially those mentioned today, those who have had operations and are recovering, those who are facing operations, those who are facing treatment for conditions such as cancer. Oh Lord, we bring them before you now. Help us, Lord, to hold on to your promises and live our lives in accordance with your will for us. Help us not to be distracted by the failures of the world. Help us not to feel helpless because of all that we see that is unjust and unfair, all that we see which is the opposite of love. Help us to recognize, Lord, that actually hate is not the opposite of love. The opposite of love is apathy, not caring, not recognizing. Help us to care and to recognize others, but also, Lord, help us to live our lives in the way that you want us to live them, not worrying about how anybody else lives their life. But first, living our life with Christ, with your Spirit within us, so that then we might show your love to others. Help us to be the light upon the hill. Help us to be the person with whom revival starts, because we put you first in all that we do, that we truly look forward to tomorrow as being the best day of our lives, because we will live it in the way you want us to live.
in Christ's name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our communion hymn this morning is Jesus Stand Among Us. And as we sing this, I would ask that the deacons will come forward to the table that we may celebrate the Lord's Supper together and partake in the bread and the wine in memory of him. Amen. If you truly and earnestly repent of your sins, are in love and charity with your neighbours, and are resolved to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and partake of the bread and the wine today. Come. Not because you must, but because you may. Not to testify that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples.
not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because of your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never be hungry." Lord, we come trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. Paul wrote that he came, he handed on to us what came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord Jesus until he come." Now I'm going to have a prayer of thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power by lifting up the downtrodden, healing the sick, and loving the loveless. We thank you for his sacrifice upon the cross for the redemption of the world, and for raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall all share. We pray for the goodness in the world, that your enduring light would chase away the darkness, and we pray for those cloaked in the darkness, that they will see your light and find salvation. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Jesus took the bread after giving thanks, and he broke it, saying, "Eat this in memory of me." As we receive the bread, we will eat it in order to commemorate that Christ died for us as individuals. He died for you. He died for me. Let us receive the bread.
Supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood.
Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." When we receive the cup, we will retain it in order that we might drink together, acknowledging that it is through Christ's death that we are united into the body of Christ. We are the church of Christ, his people, here united throughout the world, united by his Spirit. Amen. Drink then, remembering that Christ died for us. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We're going to sing now, O God of burning, cleansing flame.
Thank you.
Let us say these words together. O Holy Spirit, God and Lord, refine me in your purifying fire, burning away sin and hardening my resolve to do your will. Amen. Let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.